Welcome to the Girl Dad Show, a professional parenting podcast. Each month, I interview entrepreneurs, leaders, and professionals who are balancing parenthood, life, and profession in the hopes to learn what it takes to be an amazing professional parent. Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Girl Dad Talk. Oh man, it has been a interesting and wild couple of weeks since we last talked, or since I last shared with you what I've been working on. I think last time I was talking about slowing things down and trying to figure out how to travel a little bit more and kind of get back to normalcy and really slow down the curve of building these businesses. But in true nature versus nurture, it's really hard to do that. And I think Amy is absolutely accurate in saying I say these things, but it's really hard for me to do that. I have a hard time slowing down, apparently. And I get really excited about projects and building things. And I think I'm destined to just continue to be a builder. And I really just need to figure out a way to satiate that desire and curb it a little bit, because I've already gotten myself into all sorts of different projects again and ideas and things that I want to build and do. And so a lot of different things have come up, and it's been really tremendously hard to justify not taking those things, because inside I'm a little bit nervous about, you know, this economy. And I think that there's going to be a lot more hardships coming in the new year. I do think that this quarter and kind of right now we're in this little bit of a lull, and things are evening out a little bit for a temporary amount of time, but I do think that it'll get a lot harder. And so that's kind of tickling the back of my mind as I think about like the risk of having a single income family and really being so aggressive with our financials and building and kind of putting ourselves in a really difficult spot, because we haven't really done a good job of saving money. We've just been kind of investing all of our money. And so although we have a lot of assets, we are not ready for a kind of a downturn. And it's been really humbling over the last like two quarters, really going through losing clients and losing capital and not having that income stream coming in as readily as it has the last 2 years. And so I'm a lot more humbled and nervous and a little bit more risk averse than I was previously. And as these opportunities are coming up, it's hard to turn them down. And so it's been really tricky, because obviously one, it personally, it's exciting and fun. And then two, it's just hard. It's hard to turn it down, because, you know, there's like this thing in the back of my mind that says, you know, we haven't done a good job of like preparing for a winter storm economically, and having these opportunities in front of you makes you want to take it and then stow it away and store it. So that's kind of what I've been battling with a lot. And then on the personal side, I have been able to spend a lot of time with the kids and going through some really interesting conversations with Lily, and also Grace too, but really around Lily, having these moments of clarity, you know, where she's talking to us about some of the things that are going on in school and her friendships, and having, you know, people be mean to her. And it's been really interesting to go deep into that and talk to her about those moments, and trying to be as open-minded and supportive and approachable about it. You know, I don't want to like police it or react harshly about it, or even like, you know, one end obviously over dramatize that, you know, but at the same time, I also don't want to like disregard it either. You know, I really want to be, you know, here. So I just want her to know that she can always come and talk to me, no matter what the situation is. And so I'm just trying to like have an even keeled emotion about it, even though it really frustrates and angers me that, you know, kids are being mean to her, and she's starting to understand it. And, you know, in one instance, you know, she has this weird sense of loyalty where, you know, she, you know, apparently, you know, said that they were really good friends. They were best friends or whatever like that. And then this best friend obviously was being mean to her and said that she didn't want to be her friend and she didn't care about her and all these other things. But in Lily's weird mind, like this loyalty mind, she just assumed that she had to keep hanging out with her and just make it work, because they already committed to being best friends. And it was a really interesting to kind of like listen to her work through the logic of that. And then being able to talk to her about like, hey, you don't need to like be there if someone's, you know, being mean to you. And she's like, are they continually being mean to you? And she's like, yeah, she'll keep saying mean things to me and then tell me that there's other people that are better friends than her in front of me. And I'm like, you don't have to like stay there for that. She's like, but that's my best friend. And we said we were going to be best friends. And it's really interesting, you know, because like, I don't know how much of that's my fault because I did talk to her about like, you know, being true to your word and like sticking things out and keep trying until things make sense. We have a thing that we say all the time, like, you know, you can cry, you can whine, you can scream, but you have to keep trying, you know? And so we have like this thing about trying and trying and trying. And I wonder if I may have impressed upon that without context and she's applying those things, or she just has a sense of loyalty that, you know, that she's learned herself, but I'm not entirely sure. But it was a really great moment for me over the last week or two to be able to dive into these conversations and experience that, because Lily doesn't really talk about school. She'll come home and we'll ask and she doesn't want to talk about it, and she just kind of wants to go back to playing or doing whatever. But over the last few weeks, she has been a lot more emotional. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that she was in this kind of like almost like tortured state where she didn't like, she wanted to make that friendship work. And I don't think she even realized that she can go just kind of walk away and make new friends. And so we really were able to tap into that. And I kind of pat Amy on the back, but I kind of pat myself on the back because I was obviously very emotional and angry, but I didn't get that emotional. And I was able to kind of just listen to her and, you know, talk to her about how she felt and why she did that and why she didn't walk away. And then actually like listening to her unpack the reasoning of like why she just sat there and took it, you know, even though this person was being mean to her. And then, you know, we did some exercises. We like role played how you could just basically walk away and then ask new friends to play. And I think that it worked because she started to, a week or two later, came back and talked about how, you know, this friend, apologized and she forgave them. And then she was mentioning to me that, you know, like when she, you know, has someone being mean to her, she reiterated what we talked about, which was like a week later. So even though it didn't seem like it really stuck, it sounds like it did stick. And that was really exciting for me to, be able to have these kind of unique conversations with, Lily. And also very nerve-wracking. It's super scary for me because I'm realizing that I'm very emotional. And I have this like, visceral reaction to these things. And I have like this opinion of what's right and wrong. And at work, it's amazing, right? It's very helpful, because it makes me make decisions very quickly. And I can move forward faster very quickly. I can identify people that believe in it or don't believe in it or want to be a part of it, don't want to be a part of it. It's very efficient to be very opinionated and confident, right? And in this parameter, I'm realizing that it's a huge weakness, because if I respond in such an opinionated way without having context, you know, it kind of defeats the purpose. I could accidentally either make her not want to tell these things to me, you know, make her feel like she's doing something right that may end up being non-absolute because she doesn't have context. And so I'm realizing, like, as she gets older and older and has these experiences, which is totally normal, you know, and kids are going to be mean and nice and they're going to learn from each other as they go to school and have these interactions, I just want to make sure that I'm being a really good dad in the sense of like being approachable. And it's incredibly scary for me because as I went through that conversation with her, it took almost every ounce of energy I had to not say my opinion. And even now I'm getting kind of angry thinking about it. I'm realizing how important it is to exercise that skill of just being open to hearing it and letting them think it through, and then, you know, working with them to come up with alternate solutions and really letting them talk it out and helping them come up with like all the details, because, you know, they're not sharing everything, and I don't want to be quick to like stop them from talking. And it's just really a really complicated thing. And I know so many parents are doing this so well, and it's just like the thing that I felt was like, you know, a big strength of mine is actually becoming a really big weakness in the state, because I feel like it's something that I really need to like work on, because I struggle with it. I'm really bad at it. And I don't want to ever be in a position where she doesn't come and talk to me about problems that she's going through and she's working through or trying to solve for herself. I want to be there, you know, to be a part of those conversations. And so something that I've been really thinking a lot about in the last few weeks. On the good news, I have finally figured out a way to get my kids to play music with me. And I did it through the guise of a video game. So we're having trouble finding a piano teacher. There's not that many services yet in the town that we live in here near Austin. And so although there are options, it does take a little bit of a commitment to go do music. And I think neither one of the girls really were interested in it per se, but I basically downloaded an app and it's called Simply Piano and it's really great. I'm actually really happy with it. And I think it's like $12 a month or something, but it's awesome. And it kind of goes through these guided classes and I sit there with them and then I help them with the courses. And we've already had like two lessons. Each girl has had two lessons with me in the app and we've been using it. And it is unbelievably fun for me. My heart and my life is complete, you know, in that 30 minutes of practicing and watching them play music and playing on the piano and learning the fundamentals of music and being able to do that with them is also really unique. It's almost better than them going to get lessons from a teacher because I'm like kind of teaching them, but I'm not, because it's like kind of following the app and we're learning it together. And it's just an incredible experience. And I'm so excited that I found that. And I kind of tricked them into saying it's a video game with like the piano and the app. And they thought it was super cool because they get to use the iPad and we were able to use that to engage them. And now, I mean, every time I come downstairs from work or take a break, they're, you know, asking to play the piano game. And I feel a little bit bad because I kind of tricked them with the video game mentality of it. But I don't at the same time, because it's so good for them to learn these things. And if they have an interest in it, I definitely want them to continue to explore these interests and really figure out like what they're passionate about and what they're interested in and what they want to learn. But I also think that music is a core part of my life, and I really want them to have it as a core part of their life. Whether they choose to pursue it ongoing or not, it'd be really great for them to at least understand like the basics of instruments. I feel like people that, you know, can play music have a somewhat of an advantage in a lot of ways. You know, they know how to both, you know, think creatively and, you know, critically, but also pragmatically and mathematically, because so much of music is steeped in systems and processes and math, while simultaneously it allows for an unbelievable amount of creativity and openness. And it's just one of those beautiful things that I think everyone should try to pick up and learn, even a little bit. It doesn't have to be a lot. You know, you don't have to be the best at it, but I just really feel like it'll really help them, you know, as human beings and, you know, open their minds to ideas and new ways of thinking, but also really like how to like structure constraints and work within those constraints and think outside those constraints. And I think music does that subliminally, subconsciously, as well as directly. And so I'm super, super excited about it. And I'm really glad that they're interested in it. And I'm really trying to figure out ways to allocate more time to spend with the kids and the girls playing piano and music, and hopefully start getting them to sing with me and maybe even some other instruments as they get older and their fingers are stronger. It'd be great if they play guitar and drums and we'd just be like a musical family, but trying really hard not to get overly excited because I don't want to be that pushy parent that like pushes all my stuff onto them. But I am very, very happy about the fact that they are now engaged in playing piano and they're interested in it and they're having fun. And so that's super, super exciting for me. And then lastly, something that I'm thinking a lot about is just the holidays. We have a lot to be grateful for, and I'm really excited about Thanksgiving, especially this year. My brother is going to be flying in for Thanksgiving with his family, and we just saw them at Legoland. We visited them in San Diego the other month, and it was super fun. And it was really great to see the cousins, or Lily, you know, and Grace got to hang out with their cousins that they grew up with. And we got to do fun things, and we got to do all these rides and amusement parks on the beach, and we did all sorts of stuff. But even without the stuff, they just had fun even playing at a playground. Like they were just so happy. And it was just unbelievable to watch their little faces and the way they played. And it's just like this pure like happiness because, you know, they literally grew up together. I mean, my brother lived 8 houses down from me when he had his kids, and, you know, they grew up together. And so there's this familiarity that also, I don't know if they realize it's family, if there's a difference in it, but there's definitely a unique closeness to it. And I missed it. I missed it ever since we moved to Texas, because we really haven't seen our family, and our kids haven't seen the family at all in 2 years. So I'm super stoked. I'm super stoked to have my brother and his family staying with us for a week, and then being able to spend, you know, a holiday together, but also in the same house, be able to show him, you know, the life that we're building here, and also be able to just have the kids spend time with their cousins and, you know, experience that joy that they had the other month of, you know, family and family time and just playing. And so unbelievably excited and grateful for my brother making the decision to come out here and spend Thanksgiving week with us. And it's really, really exciting for me. So a lot to be grateful for, a lot to be thankful for, and just a lot of stuff going on in my mind right now about business and work and how things are going to play out. I have a lot of big things that are happening right now, and I'm just waiting to announce some of them. But on the personal side and on the work side, it's just been a crazy, crazy couple of weeks. And even though, like, you know, I feel like, you know, last quarter I had a really bad downturn on the professional side, I've been able to come out of it and, you know, really think about leveling that off and just kind of, you know, reappropriating, reprioritizing the amount of like time I want to spend in different buckets. It has become even harder to do that than I thought. And I'm not entirely sure if it's because of, you know, my personal selfishness or of just like loving to create things and build things, or if it's because of, you know, my fear of like, you know, providing for my family or what that may be. But, I do know that I want to actively figure out ways to spend more time with my kids, both traveling again, and also spending time with them to like do music and, you know, just spend more time with them, especially as Lily is starting to experience what society feels like and human interactions feel like. I just want to be a part of those experiences. And thank God for Amy, because Amy is so good at this stuff. She is a natural, like, Zen monk. She's just so, like, serene and calm. She just listens to everything and so approachable and easy to talk to. And she's always been like this. And, you know, with the kids, it's just unbelievably powerful and beneficial. And I'm just so grateful for her and how she is exactly the opposite of me. Because I struggle with it really hard, but I'm so grateful that, you know, the kids get to have her as their mom, you know, 100% of the time, because she's going to always be there to like be that approachable person that they can talk to, and she can guide them through these conversations and decisions and teach them how to navigate these things in a very productive and expressive way. And I feel like they're pretty healthy in that sense, you know, both physically but also mentally and emotionally, because they have someone like Amy just constantly, you know, showing them what that looks like and being there for them. And it's really, really awesome. Like, I got into, sorry, last story. I know I said that was the third thing, but last story, like, for example, I got into a pretty big fight with Lily because she has a lot of trouble losing. She's very competitive. And now that I say that out loud, it sounds like pretty obvious because she's probably getting that from me, but she like hates losing, and it's bad. Like, it's really bad. Like, everything she can't lose. And what's really interesting is that she really struggles. What we found out through that argument and that fight is that it's not so much about losing to other people. It's mostly about, she doesn't like losing to other people either, and she's very competitive, but she definitely doesn't like losing to me. and she's very competitive with me. And it caused a really bad fight. And so we fought really long, and it was like an hour long fight, and we were like very upset with each other. And she was like just in tears and just so distraught over the situation. And then we eventually made up. And then the next day we talked about it again, and we came to a good compromise and understanding. And, but the root cause was that she just doesn't like losing to me. So if we play games, or if we play a race, or if we play, you know, anything, actually, she just has this like visceral reaction to losing to me. She just has to win, and she wants to beat me. And I, you know, I kind of like talked to Amy about this, and, you know, I said like, you know, there are times where, you know, I, you know, most of the times I just let her win and it's fun and it's cute, but there are times where I'm like, I just like win, you know, and I don't know how to approach this. Like, do I just like, you know, keep winning, or do I like even it out, or try to talk to her about losing to me or winning and losing, you know, cause she seems to get the grasp of losing to other people. So that's good. And I can see that in soccer, she used to get really competitive, or she'd want to, you know, win every time. And like, you could see that with everybody. And then that's kind of dissipated, and she's a lot better about being a good loser, or at least, you know, not getting super upset when she doesn't win, but definitely still really hard for her with me. And so that's something that I got to figure out right now. But I did notice that Amy showed me that when she got really upset and she gets really emotional, she has a really great processing mechanism. She'll like go to her room. Both actually, Grace and Lily do this. And it's, I think that's a true testament to Amy, but both girls will basically step away from the situation when they're super emotional, and they'll say, I need quiet time. And they'll go to their rooms and they'll draw. They'll write. I mean, Lily's starting to like put letters together. And so she'll actually write what she thinks is her statements and her points of arguments onto this paper. It'll literally be just like, you know, messed up words with misspellings and, you know, all this stuff. But you can see that like my name is in there, and like it says like dad is bad because of like, and she writes these things in her mind. She's writing her whole thing. But she's articulating and expressing her emotions and feelings onto a paper and a drawing and all this other stuff. And I don't really know the psychology or the science behind it. All I know is that it's incredibly good. Like, I just love that they're able to like step away from that moment, go alone, be aware enough to go alone and like push it out through, you know, in this situation, it's like art, right? But I think it's really, really great that they have that. And I definitely think that's an Amy thing, because I am not teaching them that at all. And so I'm really happy that they have that skill set, and really, really appreciative of the partner that I have in Amy, and the ability for us to basically combine our strengths to, you know, provide really great parenting and family ecosystem for our kids. So I mean, that's kind of weird for me to say it's great, but I think it's great. So I should say that. I think it's great that we're providing this for our kids, and the sum of the parts is more powerful and better because of it. So that's basically the last story I want to talk to you about, but that's the most recent update on me and what I'm doing right now, both professionally and as a parent, and all the things that I'm kind of working through at this point of my professional parenting journey. And I hope it has helped you in your professional parenting journey. And if nothing else, I hope it helps you figure out a problem that you're solving, or helps you relate, or anything. But as always, feel free to let me know if there's anything that you have a question about, or anything you want me to talk about, or if there's anything in my business that you want me to unpack, or anything about my parenting journey or insights that I've culled from being a dad that you want to talk through or you want to hear more about. So always appreciate any feedback and thoughts. And thank you again for listening to the Girl Dad Show. This is another Girl Dad Talk as part of season 2. I'm rotating interviews between my personal monologue and journey of professional parenting. And I appreciate you joining in on the conversation. Thank you, and talk to you next week. Thank you again for listening to another episode of the Girl Dad Show. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, please take a moment to give us a review on your podcast service. These reviews help us grow a lot more than you know.